Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast, and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to Fantasy Football Today, DFS. It's a special 7:30 show. It's me, it's Meg Schaub. Sorry we couldn't be with you this morning, but I got to be honest, I don't mind the prime time thing every once in a while, Meg.
That's right. A little prime time, like you said, a little early look after dark. I like it.
There we go. After dark. It reminds me of Pac-12 after dark for all you college football bettors. And we're not going to have that anymore. We'll have some semblance of it because there's still going to be late games on the West Coast. But that whole realignment thing, it's not for me. Fortunately, we're talking NFL. We're not talking college football. By the way, there's already some people in the chat. I do want to point out that our amazing producer, Nada, has already put our contest link. Now, just keep in mind, there's a lot of different slates this week. Meg, you know this as well as anybody. We've got a two-game Saturday slate. That's going to be the topic of discussion for the most part today. Sunday, we have, I believe, what's a nine-game slate. And then Monday, there's a three-game slate. So, as is typical, we're going to cover the two-game slate here. And then Friday, when it's me and Mike McClure, we're going to talk about the nine-game Sunday slate and perhaps touch on that Monday slate. I don't know. Maybe there'll be an emergency show during the holiday. If not, maybe a Twitter Spaces to discuss that Monday game. I don't know, Meg. I don't know if you're up for that. Maybe we'll get some other people involved and we'll have this big Twitter Spaces show or something.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, all these short slates right around the holiday, but, you know, it's fun. We love short slates, so we're not going to complain, right?
It is fun. And speaking of short slates, we have congratulations to give. Ron Dammit is the screen name. He won the Sunday main slate. And KD Knowles, 644, I guess that's a Florida State fan, he won the three. He or she, I should say, won the three-game Saturday slate. So congratulations there. We're going to try to touch on KD Knowles' lineup at the very end of the show. It wasn't anything magical, but it was a very, very good lineup, pivoted off some people that were very popular. And we're going to be talking about pivots like that in this one. By the way, if you noticed, I just tweeted out the show. If you can retweet the show just to, like, I don't normally ask you to do that, but or maybe quote tweet it just so that people know we're here, because it's just kind of a weird time that we're on. If you don't want to do that, that's cool. Hit the like button. And by the way, Meg, I got to say, before we finally get started, I saw a couple of really good reviews on Apple, one of them highlighting you as well. So
awesome.
I got to tell you that just because you're relatively a newcomer, even though you've been with us for a couple months now on this show. But deserved there. I believe it was a 5-star review. We appreciate everybody doing that. Hello, Albert. Hello, Arturo. Let's get started. If you don't mind, Meg, on Saturday, we've got the two games. We've got Bengals at Steelers, and we've got Bills at Chargers. I think a lot of the fireworks from a roster construction standpoint and from a building standpoint are probably going to be in that second game, which we'll get to in a second. But Bengals -1.5 at Pittsburgh. It's a 37-point total, just so everybody knows. This one starts at 4:30, and the Bills-Chargers game at SoFi starts at 8 o'clock. This has a lot of interesting angles. First of all, I'll note that this total – I believe it. I don't think this is weather related because I think the weather is going to be fine. You know, maybe a touch of wind, but I think it's going to be in the mid 40s, maybe a slight chance of rain. This total went down from 38.5 from really last night to 37 for whatever reason. Maybe that's, you know, we're talking Mason Rudolph here ultimately, but, and of course, Ja'Marr Chase looking like he may not play in this one. Meg, you'd agree with me. It's probably more likely than not that he does not play.
It doesn't seem like it. No. Yeah. I think that is definitely the case. Yeah.
All right. Chargy 65. Meg is definitely a great addition to the show with
Thank
an
you.
Exclamation point. Thank you, Chargy 65.
Love to okay, hear so, it.
Yeah, exactly. So listen, I guess maybe Steelers fans, maybe not happy to hear the following. Mason Rudolph is your quarterback. I will say this. I watched Mason Rudolph back at Oklahoma State. I'm kind of a bit of a Mason Rudolph truther. I do think he, at the very least, I saw him showcase his arm, at least his touch on the long ball at Oklahoma State. So there's something to be said for that. I mean, neither of these guys, Mason Rudolph or Jake Browning, really have much by way of strength when it comes to arm strength. But I do think they're both competent quarterbacks. I'm looking at their yardage totals because some of the props are out for these two games. Not all, but some. Mason Rudolph's, just so everybody knows, his yardage prop, 193.5. 234.5 for Jake Browning. Let me start with this, Meg, because again, I know people, and by the way, it's very easy to stack Josh Allen. With the way pricing is, I want everybody to know who hasn't built yet, which is like basically none of you. I've built a couple of lineups just to see what I could pull off.
Right.
I was able to pull off. First of all, I started with Josh Allen and I was going to try to build without Stephon Diggs, just because I didn't think I'd be able to. So I wanted to get all the points, right? So I got Josh Allen, I got James Cook, I put in Dalton Kincaid, and I believe I had one other. Yeah, Gabe Davis. I took a flyer on Gabe Davis, even though he's been like catchless for like 5 years now. But with that said, I was able to pull that stack off, and I had so much money left over that I was like, well, let me try to experiment with getting Diggs into a lineup. Now, it did change my construction quite a bit, but I was able to get Cook, Diggs, and Josh Allen in a lineup, and I was able to make a lineup that I was still pretty fond of. So I want to put it out there that you can go to that Josh Allen stack and feel comfortable with how you build. But with all of that said, sticking with Bengals Steelers, do you have any interest at 4,800 in Mason Rudolph or at 6,100 in Jake Browning in building a stack around either of them?
I think yes, because again, this is more just the short slate strategy, which we enjoy talking about in these shows as well, more than it's the players. Yes, we got to talk about the players, but it's also the way you build. And you just made the exact case for everybody's probably going to be building a Josh Allen stack. No, and I'm not saying he's going to be 99% owned, but he's going to be incredibly high owned. And is he likely going to be the highest scoring quarterback? Yes. But are there ways where he cannot be? Yes. So I want to take chances and on a couple other quarterbacks, and Browning would be the one. I'm going to probably ignore the Steelers situation because there is a slim chance that it could actually be Pickett. I'm sure that's doubtful, but they're leaving the door open is the quote that they're leaving the door open for Pickett. But again, likely it'll be Rudolph. So I'm more likely to do some Browning stacks with Higgins. And so the answer is yes. I'm not going to go all in on Allen because I've seen this movie play out before. And there are ways where the guy that seems the most optimal isn't the most optimal. And you can get massive leverage on that.
It's very true. And so, you know, it's funny the way you put that, because I think because you can build Josh Allen stacks like fairly easily, they're not like the best lineups in the world in terms of like what, like, I don't know how, like what their optimal rate will be ultimately because of some of the other pieces you have to put in there. But because it's relatively easy to build those stacks, people are going to go that route, which is why, like, listen, you can still go that route. Obviously, Meg's not saying you shouldn't go the Josh Allen route, but it begs the question, okay, well, if there are scenarios where Josh Allen, maybe it's truly just a James Cook day, which it kind of was a few days ago. If we're being honest, Josh Allen had an okay game. He had two rushing touchdowns. He only had one passing touchdown. He should have had two. James Cook actually dropped one of them. But the long and short of it is there are paths where you can try to stack this game, and you can try to get a lot of pieces in this game and still get pieces of that Buffalo Bills lineup with like a James Cook, with one of the primary receivers like a Stephon Diggs. And that doesn't mean you have to stack it with Josh Allen. So I do think being creative here and keeping in mind that you can play cash too. Like, don't forget that. So you can kind of go all in with a contrarian build contrarian strategy in your tournament lineups and still allocate some of your funds to cash games with some of the more conventional plays, like the standard, like Josh Allen type stacks and some of the popular players that we're going to see on this slate. But Meg, let's move on to some of these other guys. So before we get to, you mentioned T. Higgins. And T. Higgins is obviously a great play, 6,500 with no Jamar Chase. He makes sense. I think guys like Boyd and Irwin and especially Tanner Hudson at 3,600 really make it into the conversation in kind of a big way here. But forgetting about them for a second, Mixon 6,800, Chase Brown's 4,900, Warren 5,400, Najee 5,000. I know some people are like, why are you even bringing those guys up? I hate them. I don't want to play them. Of those running backs in this Bengals Steelers game, is there one or two that you have your eye on, whether it's a contrarian play or a conventional one?
I would say I'm open to all four, to be quite honest. Because again, I talked about this last week when we talked short slate. And short slates, it's like I have priority spends. I have guys I'm kind of fading. And then I have just guys that I'm open to if it fits correctly. And I'm open to all these guys, actually. And, you know, for the Steelers, hopefully they'll come in low owned because, yeah, they did burn us last week. Bad. But they have yet another, and it was shocking because the Colts were a great run. They were a great matchup. They were a bad run defense and a great matchup. This is the same situation. I mean, we saw Ty Chandler run all over them last week. So, you know, I think there's no reason that the Steelers couldn't. This is a good matchup for both these backs. You know, pick which one you want. They truly are still splitting it. So, you know, I'm open to either of the Steelers running backs because they do have a good matchup. And I'm open to Mixon. You know, Mixon, you know, still gets the volume. Got the touchdown last week. They still are utilizing Chase Brown more. So if you need that money, then I'm open to that because he, you know, definitely can be used in the passing game. And they were giving him some carries as well. So I'm open to all these guys.
You know, I think there's a pretty good argument, especially if Kenny Pickett's not playing and if it's Mason Rudolph. Honestly, I think this is a good argument, even if Kenny Pickett is playing. But there's a good argument to go back to Warner Najee, especially if ownership is really down on them. Because, A, it's a good matchup. And, B, if Mason Rudolph is your quarterback and Mike Tomlin is your coach, pretty good chance you're leaning on the run as much as you possibly can. So, I mean, and again, you have to pick right. And these guys actually have to be efficient for once. But at the same time, like it's not outside the realm of possibility, especially usually what happens when Warren and Najee are even in the conversation, one usually becomes the more popular of the other. Like we have Warren at 5,400, Najee at 5,000. My guess is Najee is going to be slightly more popular and Warren, you know, is going to be pretty low owned. I mean, all the more reason, Meg, probably to mix in some Warren in your lineups because we've seen from Warren before, like I don't think Warren's a bad running back. I don't think he's like amazing. But I don't think he's a bad running back. I mean, he runs north-south, and when he gets a hole, he usually, you know, can do something with it. We just haven't seen it lately. So of those four running backs, I think Warren is somebody I'm going to have my eye on. I probably won't be in on Chase Brown. I'm not sure I'm going to be on Joe Mixon either. I think both of these are, like, Mixon is obviously, like, the player to have here at 6,800. He's probably going to be relatively popular. All the more reason maybe I play him in my cash games, and then I'm out from there. Your thoughts on that? Because I as far as the running back position is concerned, I got to think he's the most popular guy.
Right. Yeah, definitely kind of like the Josh Allen situation. I think he's going to be the most popular, but again, it could be the right call for a reason. So yeah. I definitely think, you know, have your exposure to him in cash or single entries, you know, small fields, that kind of stuff. But if you want to be more contrarian, he's an interesting, you know, kind of to pivot away from him if you're looking to get more contrarian. But I definitely am still open to him. I'm not like looking to do like a massive fade on him. Again, it's going to be really, really, I think, what fits. So I would phrase it like that. So I'll have a little mix-in, but not over, you know, overweight.
And for the record, when I was saying most popular, I was saying in this game, because I think James Cook likely at 6,900 likely to be the most popular running back on this slate. Okay, let's touch on receivers before we get to Bill's Chargers. And I'm going to include Freiermuth and Hudson in this conversation when we're talking about receivers. But, you know, Chase at 7,500 likely out. Higgins 6,500 likely to be quite popular. I don't mind fading him, especially in my Bill stacks where I'm just going super heavy, like onslaught on the Bills. It's very possible Higgins doesn't make it into those lineups. For obvious reasons, I wouldn't be able to afford him anyway. Boyd at 4,600, Trent and Irwin. I'm not really interested in those two pieces. I'd rather pay down for Tanner Hudson at 3,600. But obviously, like, I think Higgins and Hudson are the most attractive to me on on the Bengals side. And listen, I think it's a toss-up on the Steelers side. I even think Allen Robinson at a flat 3K, if you really need to jam in a 3K guy, I believe he caught 3 of 3 targets last week. I don't hate that play. Which of these receivers do you like, Meg?
I kind of agree with you. From the Bengals side, for me, the priority is going to be Higgins and Tanner Hudson. Tanner Hudson just seems to be getting more and more looks, especially with Browning. So seems to be consistent 4 or 5 targets each week. I believe he got over 40 yards last week because I did the alt prop and I was like, oh, right. Yeah. So I got that. So I'm definitely interested in Higgins, then Hudson. And then again, I'd be willing to go to Boyd. I don't think I have a lot of interest in Irwin. On the Steelers side, Deontay Johnson's my priority or my favorite. Pickens just keeps burning me each week. I keep going back expecting that explosive game because I know the talent's there. I know it's there. It just, we haven't seen it. And so in a while. So I, you know, again, I'm willing to go to Pickens. Don't know that I'll get to Allen Robinson much. So I'd say for me, it's mostly Deontay Johnson, maybe a little bit of Pickens. Don't see me doing Robinson as much, maybe a little bit of Freiermuth, but I think I'd do Tanner Hudson over Freiermuth. So yeah, I'd say that's how I'd rank those.
Right. And by the way, Deontay Johnson, for a guy who like never caught touchdown passes, he's got 3 touchdowns in his last 3 games. You know, he's not getting a ton of volume, but his volume isn't bad. I mean, for Deontay Johnson, it's kind of bad, but considering what this Pittsburgh offense has been, 5, 7, and 6 targets, or I should go by the last 5 games, 8, 8, 5, 7, and 6 has been his target share over the last 5 games. In the last 2 games, 13 targets, 7 receptions. I mean, it's not terrible for a receiver, by the way, that's 5,100 and probably outside of T. Higgins in this game, the most talented receiver. I don't know. I think Deontay's better than George Pickens, but I understand the alternate argument. I just think from a reception standpoint, from a volume standpoint, I feel like Deontay, to your point, might be that guy.
Exactly. No, that's why he's my priority on Pittsburgh by far, for sure.
Now, let me ask you this before we move on to Bills Chargers. Is there a scenario? Because we also, when we talk about these 2 game slates, we also have to talk about, you know, game flow or I should say game script. Like, are there game scripts where the Steelers are down early and Mason Rudolph has to throw? Like, I just think if you're in like a big tournament and you just want to YOLO a lineup, you know, Mason Rudolph to Freiermuth and either Deontay or Pickens, like certainly a double stack there. I mean, I suppose on a 2-game slate, you could even triple stack that, but I don't know that I'd go that far. But I can see a scenario where you play Mixon on one side and let's say even the Bengals defense, because they just generate a lot of turnovers or whatever the case may be. It's just a bad game for the Steelers in general, including Mason Rudolph. But again, if Mason Rudolph turns the ball over, good news, he gets the ball right back.
Right.
And so like Mason Rudolph to a couple of pass catchers and Mixon and the Cincy defense on the other side, and then you just load up on whatever Bills Chargers you have left. Would you even consider that, considering he's only 4,800?
I would consider it just because, again, these short slates, we've seen it time and time again. What was it? I believe last Monday, Will Levis, I think, was the optimal quarterback. Why? Yeah. The exact same script that you said. He was in a trailing script. He had to get 2 quick touchdowns at the end of the game. He ends up being the optimal quarterback on a slate with Tua Tagovailoa. You know, it's like, okay, yeah. And Jordan Love. So we definitely wouldn't have ranked the 4 quarterbacks playing that Monday night. Will Levis was 3rd or 4th, and he was the highest scoring. So, you know, that's why these short slates, especially these 2-game slates, you do have to be kind of willing to look at everybody. Again, depending on how many lineups you're running, that's a question for yourself too.
Right.
If you're only running 3, you might want to play it safer. If you're running 10, that's where you might say, okay, I'll do 1 or 2 Rudolph, I'll do 1 or 2 Browning, I might even do an Easton Stick, you know. And that's how you can kind of, you know, get more contrarian with like a 3rd or 4th of your lineups. That's how I kind of look at it. Just ask yourself how many lines you're playing and then decide you're kind of how risk adverse you want to be. And then maybe appropriate that as far as the quarterbacks that would be more risky, but you would gain a lot if they did end up the most optimal.
And I think on a short slate, that's really important to consider because we're obviously, we want to pick the best players to some degree. But if we do that and they're popular players, we want to make sure our roster construction is slightly different so that we're, you know, maybe it's an onslaught stack instead of just like a regular stack or whatever the case may be. But another way to sort of conceive of how you want to construct your lineups is alternate game scripts. And I know that sounds like really obvious, but I don't think on these slates, people are really thinking of that. They're just jamming in. Okay, who do I have to have? And then what am I going to do from here? Like, am I going to be different? Like, am I going to be conventional? Whatever the case may be. But if you can anticipate perhaps a different game script than maybe what others anticipate, then you're automatically going to have probably a different construction and different players at that. So that's one way to kind of conceive of a two-game slate. Think of alternate game scripts, and that includes this Bills-Chargers game.
I love that.
The Chargers, yeah. Maybe the Chargers get up early, or maybe the Bills get up early, and they just kind of like mail it in the rest of the way with James Cook, and that's really the only piece you need. Or maybe, you know, Lat Murray gets in the game, or whoever it is. I think Lat Murray is healthy. He kind of was right in and out of that game. Okay, but we're going to get to that game. If you have questions, let us know in the chat. But before we get to that game, let's take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alejandro, I want to answer your question, but there's so many players involved here. It looks like a math equation. And because this is a DFS show and we go at a quicker pace, if you have like an either or, I'm happy to answer that, especially if you give us the teams they're playing against early in the week. I don't have automatic recall or Meg doesn't necessarily on these teams, but I can't solve that equation there. But
I mean, definitely prioritize CMC, I'd say. I can see CMC just sticks out at me there.
Yes. Tokyo Thrift says, I hope this is the week that Diggs goes off. Well, professional transition, Tokyo Thrift, because we're going to talk Bills minus 11.5 at the Chargers. It's a 44-point total. Again, this game starts at 8 o'clock. The first game starts at 4:30. So if you have plans with your family or your significant other or whoever, you can do that in the morning, in the early afternoon. And then you watch football the rest of the day and night. You've done your duty, if you will. So just listen, Josh Allen's 8,100. I told you he's pretty easy to play. Easton Stick, 5,500. I think, Meg, between these two, and by the way, I did look up, like, again, some props are out. Josh Allen's passing prop is 237.5. Easton Sticks is 199.5. And for the record, 28.5 rushing yards is the prop for Josh Allen, 14.5 rushing yards for Easton Stick. You know, I don't know that of all the quarterbacks, I think Easton Stick is the guy I'm sort of least likely to play. But then you get into that argument, like, you know, how contrarian is too contrarian? Like, you know, maybe that means you throw him in a couple of lineups. I don't think I can get there with Easton Stick because I don't like in terms of quarterbacks that I'm going to take a flyer on. I think it's the other game. I'm happy to take a contrarian flyer on somebody. I just don't think Easton Stick is the guy. I think Mason Rudolph is plenty contrarian. Then again, he's probably in a big time negative game script, and he has weapons like Palmer that he hit like deep late in the game. I mean, granted, it was late when the game was already over against the Raiders, but he does have weapons. Gerald Everett is a weapon, a low price weapon. Josh Palmer is a weapon. So the Easton Stick stack, it makes some sense in a short slate. Would you consider it?
I would, just because we saw it kind of, I mean, not get there in a big way, but I still think he cleared 20 DraftKings points in that just debacle of a Thursday game against the Raiders. And yes, so much of it came in garbage time, but you know, as fantasy players, we know we don't care what's garbage time or not. So I could certainly see a similar scenario, just like you painted the kind of the bull case for Rudolph. You could certainly paint the same kind of case just because of game script alone, that they are so down, you know, that they have to do what they did similar on Thursday. And just, he's throwing the whole second half. And by the way, I know his rushing prop, a lot of people were on that on Thursday, and that he ran a good bit in college. So it was surprising to me that he didn't run more. They even talked about that on the broadcast. So it'd be interesting to see if second game, he maybe uses his legs a little more, which would certainly help his floor. So that's my way of saying, again, let's just use the number 10. If I'm doing 10 lineups, I would maybe allocate one or two to Easton Stick, because that will by far be the most contrarian. And, you know, I think it's just the whole game script factor.
I agree. What's interesting about Easton Stick is he played at North Dakota State, which of course is a D1 AA school that loves to run the ball, like triple option. That's not triple option type stuff, but it's certainly like wings, and you're running the ball. Like their run rate's got to be in like the 65-70%. And I know that because I went to James Madison, and when James Madison was D1 AA in the playoffs, when it got to the Final Four, it was usually North Dakota State, James Madison, maybe South Dakota State, Montana, you know, those types of teams were in there. So, when it comes to Easton Stick, I think it's more, if he's running around and scrambling, he might run, but I don't think you're going to see the type of, obviously, like the design runs that he saw when he was playing in college. So I don't know that it like fully translates. With that said, I mean, he is somewhat athletic. I mean, he can definitely get there. I'm starting to like kind of change my mind that like maybe he's actually playable in a deeply negative game script. And I think you can do so many things. Again, it's a short slate. So you can play James Cook. You can play not Josh Diggs. You can play Stephon Diggs. And it allows you, if you were to play the Easton Stick stack, because I understand pricing is soft, but it's not so soft that you can include like Eckler and Mixon and Higgins and Diggs like all in your lineup. So it would allow you to do an Easton Stick stack with Eckler, who I don't like, by the way, but I got to admit he's very like cheaply priced at 7,200, and would allow you to like double stack that, or maybe even triple stack it with Josh Palmer, Gerald Everett, and you could still have money because of how low he's priced. You'd still have money for Stephon Diggs on the way back, or you know, James Cook, or you know, maybe like a low end like Gabe Davis or Dalton Kincaid. So it does allow you to do some very clever things that are intriguing.
Right.
So hard for me to look away from Josh Allen. And I'm thinking maybe my onslaught stack with Josh Allen will just be different than most. I know a lot of people, even in a two-game slate, they like to spread themselves thin and just like grab all the pieces. But if I just decide to fade that first game and I kind of go all in on Bills Chargers and I take one or two pieces, literally just one or two from Bengals Steelers, like maybe that's how I get different with my Josh Allen stack.
And we've talked about that a lot too. And another way to get creative on these short slates is to onslaught a team. And that can even include the defense. I think on Thanksgiving, the play was, you know, you could do Dallas defense and Dak and three other Cowboys, you know, and that could certainly be in play for the Bills here. Josh Allen, you know, two or three Bills and the Bills defense. I think that's absolutely in play to just fully onslaught it and fill in where you can. So, you know, I know we've painted cases of why you could get contrarian at quarterback play, but of course, Josh Allen is the optimal play. And again, as to your earlier point, you can make it work. And I think the unique way to make it work would be in an onslaught.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. By the way, there's a question from Adam. He says, do you think Chase or Allen play this week? Am I missing? Like, he's not referring to Josh Allen, is he?
Keenan Allen. I believe I read that Keenan Allen was at practice. I don't know if he was limited at it. I don't know the extent of it. So to the earlier point, you know, if Keenan Allen is active, I will have some interest potentially, especially if it was a contrarian Easton Stick stack, and potentially even as a bring back in this game with a Josh Allen stack, because you talked about not liking Eckler. If we say Allen, if we hear that Allen is full go, I'm interested in Allen the most from the Chargers side.
Yeah. And Adam, good question. I there's so many Allens in the league.
My head went to Josh Allen first too. And then I was like, oh, Keenan. Yeah.
So I don't think Jamar Chase plays. I do think Keenan Allen plays, and I know Meg agrees with that. So yeah, I mean, again, I mentioned the Easton Stick stack and I didn't even mention Keenan Allen. So obviously he's in play. I guess I would want to play him, but I do think Eckler is really interesting sort of with the dump offs. By the way, if you play Easton Stick, you can play both. You can play Eckler and Keenan Allen. I think I really want to jam in Josh Palmer. Maybe he's going to be so popular that because we did see him kind of show out. I mean, he's also a good receiver. He came off the injury list just like last week. So I think Palmer's in play. You know, Quentin Johnston, probably not super interested. Jalen Guyton, Erickson, probably not super interested there. But yeah, these Easton Stick. And by the way, if you do a Josh Allen stack and you don't include Diggs, and even if you include like Higgins in the other game or Mixon, if you don't include Diggs, you have money to bring it back with Keenan or Austin Eckler pretty easily. So
I like that.
Again, it's pretty easy to get some of these key guys into your lineup. I think I'm more inclined to play between. Okay, let me ask you this: between Eckler and Keenan Allen, if you can only play one, forget about price. I mean, 7,200, 7,900. It's kind of a big difference, but okay, include price. Would you rather play Eckler at 7,200 or Keenan Allen at 7,900?
As long as Keenan Allen is a full go, you know, questionable health, it would be Keenan Allen for me, even though he's priced a little higher.
Okay. Let's talk about, let's just real quick touch on Gabe Davis and let's say Khalil Shakir before we get into tight ends. Shakir just hasn't, with Dawson Knox back, Shakir just hasn't had much of a role at all. Gabe Davis is one of those guys that, like, at some point, even though I believe he has zero catches in three games in a row, I'm pretty sure that's the stat, which is like hilarious. He's like actually the wide receiver two. I don't know that there's a wide receiver two in the league that has zero catches in three straight games, or at least the last three straight games. With that said, at 5,300, a flyer on Gabe Davis, if he's going to be relatively low owned, which I believe he will be, I mean, I don't hate it.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't love it because it makes me, it's an uncomfortable click, right? You know, like it'll make me nervous. But again, especially in those Bills onslaughts, you know, I think getting him more involved would make sense. And that certainly, again, just like they say in Showdown, you tell yourself a story. I think in these short slates, it's one extra game. You're telling yourself a story of how the slate's going to go. And if you think it's just a Bills onslaught and they're kind of all getting there, then I definitely think Gabe Davis has to be in play.
And by the way, when we're referencing onslaught, we're really just saying we're really stacking one side of the ball here and not in your like typical way where it's like Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs. Like we might go, and again, it's a two game slate. So it gives you the liberty to, and by the way, the three game slate, or was it? Yeah. The three game slate on Saturday. Like you could have done that with the Detroit Lions, for example. Not that you needed Goff in your lineup necessarily to do really well, but Goff, Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, you could have put all of them in a lineup, even though it was a three game slate, and you would have done amazingly. So same concept here, but almost like highlighted, almost even more accentuated because we only have the two games. And frankly, one of these games could be a complete dud. And while people might have like 30, 40% equity in some of the players in the first game, what if that's a complete dud and there's really nobody that goes off, or there's just one person that goes off? Now in this second game, you've got all your equity stacked up in what might be the 45 or 50 point game. So those are things to consider. Are you interested at all, Megan, Dalton Kincaid or Dawson Knox?
I don't have a ton of interest there just because I haven't seen it. Maybe it's because I haven't seen it recently. Probably more in paying down for Knox if needed. I believe Kincaid was banged up. And then, like you said, Knox coming back, it's like they're shuffling the deck chairs and it's hard to know who to trust outside of Diggs. And so it's tough. And we're saying, you know, you can be open to onslaughts, but of course the most comfortable onslaught is probably Josh Allen, Cook, Diggs, the defense. Getting these other pieces do make me nervous because the usage just isn't something that we can trust. Is it something you could take a flyer on and have success with? Yes, we've seen Gabe Davis have these massive games. I think one of these tight ends could have a 2-touchdown game. Of course, that's in the range of outcomes. So I know I need to be open to it, but it's definitely way more uncomfortable for me. And I would probably be more comfortable with like a Gerald Everett in this game or a Tanner Hudson. Or even
I will point out, by the way, a good point on Gerald Everett at 3,500. I like him quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
He's got, let's see, last game, 5 catches, 5 receptions on 8 targets, 41 yards. The game before that, 5 receptions on 8 targets for 39 yards. And for the record, I think he's got 4 catches in each of his last 4 games. I think that's the stat on him. And frankly, he seems to be one of the few people that's like really playing hard and looks like super healthy.
Right.
Agreed. I think there's something to be said for that, given the state of things with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yes.
So, by the way, Meg, we're not ruling double tight end out, are we?
No, I never do on short slates because, again, if it just fits and allows me to get, you know, maybe all the other stud pieces at the running back and receiver position or and quarterback position, then I am definitely not ruling that out because you just, you know, these are the kind of slates where you just kind of don't make rules. And I kind of like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The main rule is to be unconventional. That doesn't mean be unconventional with all the players you pick. It means be unconventional with the manner in which you construct your roster. This is giving you liberty to not construct like you do on a main slate or even on like an afternoon slate where there's three or four games. I did want to point something out before. We'll look at the three game slate lineup from last Saturday before we get out of here. But before we do that, I just wanted to point out the props are out on Josh Allen's passing yards, which I mentioned, 237.5. They're out on James Cook's rushing yards, 70.5, which I believe is going to be the highest on the slate among the running backs on this Saturday slate. And Diggs, 70.5 receiving yards, which I believe is going to be the highest receiving yard total on the slate. So it kind of gives credence to why, you know, a Josh Allen, James Cook, Stephon Diggs stack might be like maybe not an optimal play, certainly maybe an optimal play in your cash games, but also maybe an optimal play in tournaments, or at least optimal from a production standpoint. Obviously, right. We can't determine optimal until we're looking at ownership and things of that nature, but way too early for that.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Nada, I think it's – Meg, did we miss anything on this game? I mean, we didn't – I think we pretty much talked about every player other than, like, Isaiah Spiller at 4,400.
That's what I was going to say, if you wanted to go that way. I don't have a ton of interest in doing that just because you're just – need him to break one, I think, for him to pay off. So I don't see myself going there. Again, those kind of fourth, fifth charger options, especially if Keenan Allen's back, no interest. So, no, we pretty much covered everybody in this game.
Yeah, I think we did as well. Okay, let's bring up that lineup. Nada already on it. There was another lineup I was going to bring up, but I actually, unfortunately, I forgot which contest I brought up. Maybe we'll bring it up anyway, Nada, after this one. But this is KD Knowles, 644. He or she won our contest with what looks like 177.12.12 points. Jared Goff. Okay, so that's how we started off with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta. He or she could have even thrown Jahmyr Gibbs in here, and it would have been great. Zach Moss was a pretty standard play. Unfortunately, got injured. I'll tell you, on the Saturday slate, it's funny. I have hundreds of dollars in it. You know, I'm not like a huge, like, thousands of dollars guy, but I had hundreds of dollars in the Saturday slate. I had way more in the Sunday slate, which didn't go quite as well for me this week. I had been doing pretty well, but Sunday was not great. However, you want to know how much I won on Saturday? Like, I had a net profit. I want you to guess, knowing that I had hundreds of dollars out there. Take that for whatever you think it is. Guess how much money I won.
I'm guessing the way you're wording this, you about broke even and you won hundreds of dollars and it just was a break even. Is that, did I guess right?
You kind of waffled there with how you finished that sentence. I literally won $1.
Okay, break even.
An actual singular dollar was my profit. So when people were like, hey, did you win on the Saturday slate?
I was to the good.
Oh yeah, I won. I just left it at that. But anyway, Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta. I loved Sam Laporta. I wasn't as big on really Jared Goff or Amon-Ra St. Brown because I was so in on the Minshew lineups. And Minshew was fine. Obviously, he had a good game too. But this one made sense. Zach Moss, like I said, Ty Chandler made a ton of sense at 5,300 with Alexander Mattison being out. This person took a flyer on Alec Pierce. I don't mind that at all. We discussed it. It just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. T. Higgins was really where he made his money because he faded Ja'Marr Chase and he played T. Higgins. This is a really smart play. Like, we knew certain players were going to be really popular. Like, Michael Pittman was going to be popular. Ja'Marr Chase was going to be popular. Like, you don't want to fade everybody. But if you can just fade one of those guys and get another guy in that game, you're getting so much leverage if it actually hits. Turns out Ja'Marr Chase really wasn't having a good game anyway and then got injured. And T. Higgins was able to put together a really good game, some spectacular moments for T. Higgins. And then Jaylen Warren in his flex spot, Colts defense. So obviously there were a couple pieces that weren't very good here, but for the most part, really great lineup. The pivot from Chase to T. Higgins is really what won this person our FFT DFS tournament. Again, if you're listening to the podcast, our tournament's live for Saturday. I only made it 150. Only the top 15 get paid. It's only $5. Get in that and we'll feature the winning lineup like we always do. Before we get out of here, since we just have a couple extra minutes, let's bring up the other lineup I sent you. I believe, Meg, I believe this was in a contest with like many, I wish I had the time to go back and look at it, but I believe it was with like thousands of people. And I just can't remember if it was like in the 20,000s or if it was in like the 5,000s. Do we have that? We might not have it. Oh, we do. Okay, cool.
All right.
Here it is. So the reason I'm bringing this up, though, because, again, this was in a bigger contest, not like the 150 that we had in our contest. This is definitely thousands, more than 1,000. I think it was in the 5 to 10,000 range. And it was 199.02. This person won $15,000. And it was a three-game slate, kind of similar to a two-game slate, but certainly not the same. And let's see what this person did. Tim V64, Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta. So again, we're onslaughting it, right? We are just saying we are committing to a theory that Detroit is going to score all the points. And that makes sense, right? They had the highest total. They had the highest implied total. But the difference in this lineup winning is this: Tim didn't say to himself, all right, well, this has the highest total, so I'm stacking Goff with Amon-Ra St. Brown. He didn't say, I'm stacking Goff with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jahmyr Gibbs. He's like, no, I'm going all in. This is a short slate. Right. Let me take every guy that I think could smash with Jared Goff. And he put three of them in there, and all three of them smashed. And are any of us surprised that all three of them smashed all at the same time? Meg, are you surprised?
No, not at all. I was very heavy on line stacks and had a profitable day. I can't remember the profitability amount, but it was a profitable day because I did do Lions kind of onslaughts. And I kind of did what I even threw Jameson Williams in there for cheap, just as you did. And it's like, you know, for his price, he wasn't the snowflake play. He was, you know, he got 4 for 47. So yeah, I love doing that. If you're confident on a team and, you know, when a quarterback throws for 5 touchdowns, just everybody can get involved. And that's what happened here.
And the only way he was able to do this, construct this lineup, because let's not forget, like, some of these pieces, Goff was the most expensive quarterback. Jahmyr Gibbs was expensive at 6,700. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 7,900. Sam Laporta, 6,000. Look in this lineup. If you're listening, I'll just tell you the lineup. It's Goff, Gibbs, Warren, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams. Oh, I forgot. He included Jameson Williams. I'm sorry. You just pointed that out. Jameson Williams is in this lineup. So talk about onslaughts. Yes. Addison, Laporta, Ty Chandler, Steelers. What's missing from this lineup? Wow. He really, really stacked. Again, this is how you can succeed on a two-game slate. This is a three-game slate, but the concept is exactly the same in terms of how Tim handled this. What's missing is Ja'Marr Chase. What's missing is Michael Pittman. Mm-hmm. What's missing is Zach Moss. So, I mean, listen, I don't know that, like, he got lucky. Like, let's be real here. This is a really fun, it's a great lineup. He won 15,000, but it took probably Zach Moss Michael Pittman and Ja'Marr Chase getting injured for this lineup to win, if we're being honest. However, I will say this. Ja'Marr Chase was not trending to having a good game. Right. So fading Ja'Marr Chase like actually was going to probably work out for him regardless. And we don't know that both Zach Moss and Michael Pittman were going to definitely like have monster games. I think Pittman, I think we can safely say probably was headed that way. But
right.
The point is, injuries happen in the NFL. And sometimes you have the Ja'Marr Chase thing where they just end up being flat. So there are situations like if it was me, I think I might have constructed this lineup and tried to find room to get one of those three guys I mentioned. I wouldn't have minded fading Chase at all, but maybe because Moss was relatively inexpensive, maybe I would have tried to find a way to get him in there. But he faded three of the monsters, and it really paid off, Meg.
Well, and Addison outscored Jefferson. That's the yes. other thing. What was so unique about that first game, Higgins outscores Chase, Addison outscores Jefferson right there. It flips the slate to, you know, if you started, honestly, with those two, and I don't believe he even has Higgins in this one. If you started with those two, you were just in such – and Ty Chandler, you're in such a good situation. So, you know, I know it's hard to fade the studs, especially on these short slates, but – you can make cases for it because when they fail, you can get a lot of leverage.
Especially when the wide receiver two is talented. Because in the Colts case, I was going to play 100% Pittman, which is, by the way, what I did. I was because, listen, Alec Pierce, I mean, like who are we talking about that's actually going to gobble up targets? Like Kyle Granson, Mo Alie-Cox, like who is that wide receiver two going to be there? It's going, and we knew that because Michael Pittman had, what, 9 catches in each of his last 3 games, averaging 100 yards. But in the case of the Cincinnati Bengals, we know T. Higgins is talented. We know he's like a legitimate, not superstar, but certainly a star. So it's a lot easier to appreciate the idea of fading Ja'Marr Chase for T. Higgins rather than fading, let's say, Michael Pittman. So and Addison is the same thing. Addison is an emerging star. And like Jefferson was coming off like being banged up. It made sense that maybe Jefferson wasn't going to have a big game. So these are the types of pivots that you can like, you can picture it in your head, like, okay, right. I could see T. Higgins. It could be a T. Higgins game. Like, I can see that. I could see it being a Jordan Addison game. So, interesting lineup, but I wanted to show that more than anything just for, like, onslaught purposes. This guy really went in on a game, and that's exactly what I think you should be doing for this one. Any other comments that we missed, Meg?
No, I think that covers because I think it's fun to talk about just a lot of these strategies. Yes, we like talking about the players and who we like, but it's these kind of short slate strategies and ways to be unique that make that are going to make the lineup work.
100%. And again, don't forget if you want to try some cash games in this because you're pivoting so much or your roster construction is so different in your tournament lineups, maybe you allocate some funds. I mean, you know, it's a 2-game slate, so it's a little different from a cash game standpoint, but I think you can make some perfectly adequate sort of conventional build or at least slightly conventional build cash game lineups and then kind of go all in for, you know, your onslaughts and your sort of different game scripts and things of that nature for your tournament lineups. Victor Garcia says, I appreciate the doggo in the background.
Riggs wanted to make an appearance. My dog Riggs. Yes. He's now on my lap basically. So,
and Casey,
after the great John Riggins. So
I was going to ask that because it could be Gerald Riggs too.
No, it's after the great John Riggins, you know, sticking with the Washington, you know,
anybody in the chat, if you know John Riggins' number, type it into the chat right now
and I'll
give you a shout out. Speaking of shout outs, KC Chiefs 320 says, love the late start, but had nothing to listen to at work today. So yeah, normally we'll be on at 10:30, but I love that you listen to this at work. We will not tell your boss. Nobody has typed in John Riggins' number yet because apparently we're old.
So we are. I am. Yeah.
But they don't know it. All right, everybody. It's 44. Jeez. They could have Googled it.
You can get into my bank accounts now, you know.
There's Victor Garcia. I believe Victor Garcia that he actually knew that. So he typed in.
Like,
congratulations, Victor. We appreciate the Washington support. We certainly require it. Meg James A, 44. Love it. I think that's our show. Like, listen, what we didn't want to do on this show was like say, here are our picks. Like, this is what we like. Although we did mention all of those things. We mentioned all of the players. We mentioned where we thought some of the value was, some of the soft pricing in terms of some of these players. But Meg, the one thing I wanted to impress upon everybody was roster construction. This is a two-game slate. People say like get weird, but we really kind of wanted to tell you like what we mean when we say stuff like that. And like that last lineup we saw, I think it's such a good illustration. I don't know that I'd go 1 with 4 skill position players. you could. This guy did it, and he won on a three-game slate. But right. It's that type of construction that you're looking for. Go all in on a game script. Go all in on a game. Go all in on a team and just make your lineup from there. After you go all in on that, then make your lineup from there in terms of filling in the rest of the pieces. Meg, any final thoughts there?
Yeah, just absolutely on top of that, it's like they say for showdown, and I just apply this to short slate too, is tell yourself a story of how the game and games are going to go and exactly just build the story out from there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely. Tell yourself the story and then don't be afraid to break rules, get weird, but do it in a smart way.
And it doesn't always have to be the conventional story that the books are predicting, by the way. Right. It doesn't always have to be that way, especially if you're building a lot of lineups. Come up with a game script that maybe bucks whatever the point spread is, or maybe even bucks whatever the total is. And once you have figured out what that alternative game script is, now you start building your lineup and mm-hmm. you see where the chips fall. Our chips are going to fall next at 11 o'clock on Friday. It's going to be me and Mike McClure. We're going to be talking about the Sunday 9-game slate. We'll probably touch on the Saturday and Sunday slate if we have time. Hopefully, maybe we'll have a special show or maybe something special on Twitter where we come up and we talk about Monday's games, which are on Christmas. Monday's Christmas, right?
It's crazy, right? Yeah.
It's actually crazy. But either way, everybody, thanks for joining us. Thanks for the most recent reviews on the podcast. We really appreciate that very much. And we'll see everybody on Fantasy Football Today, DFS Friday.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.